me. Good to see you. We've got a lot of people out. The preacher is out. He's coming home late tonight. He didn't say this, but I just assumed he'd be with his family here tomorrow. He's up with his family up north for the last 2-3 days. He will be here next Sunday preaching. Two of our members are going to preach for us today. We're fortunate to have men to do that. Dale, Tracy, and Don's out. They'll be back next Friday. The Hennings is back, and we're glad of that. And we probably got others out that I don't recognize. I don't know why I told Grant that, well, I'll teach today and tomorrow. I said, we'll get through the first chapter today and Wednesday night. I said, you can start chapter 2 next Sunday when you teach. And I also told him, I said, don't get up and show the old man up. And he done exactly that. So I'm not going to tell him too much of anything yesterday. He gets the joy of showing me up. But anyway, it's good to be with Granny. He's very talented, very good. We're very lucky to have him and Courtney with us. They shot in the arm to us. And we're lucky and glad to have everyone with us this morning. We're looking at Philippians, the first chapter. Some of this we've already looked at. But I think Grant got down to about 10, 11. We'll get there shortly. And the song that we sung about love is very evident in the book of Philippians because Paul manifested that love. He done a good job. You heard that once during the course of this lesson. You're going to hear it several times. We're glad that you're here in the class and hope that you get something out of it. This is a holiday weekend to me. Everything's closed tomorrow. We will not worship tomorrow, and we do not be at any worship service tomorrow. We don't recognize that and never will. We need to be cautious of that. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. We'll meet here on the first day of the week, remembering his death around the table, and that's what the Bible talks about, and that's what we do. That's what we have authority for. You do what you do. Banks close tomorrow. We'll be on newspaper tomorrow. Most everything is closed tomorrow. So you have to make your life a little bit different, even though you don't want to. But I have never known to get up and worshiping Jesus, a baby Jesus, on the 25th of December, because we're not authorized to do that. In Philippians, the first chapter, that should came up. I got the first slide on my presentation, but when I punch the arrow, nothing else comes up. You set that up, Ken. Should I take it up here and put it on slides? What? I didn't touch that. That had something to do with it.
Well, it does, but it shouldn't. First one, let's do that. here?
Yeah, I had it on flash drive. I put it on desktop. Are you with that, Grant?
Grant, I can't get it to work right.
I want to go to... All right, that's got two. Will it go up to three? Yes, it did. Go back to two. That'd be fine. I'll start right there.
If it'll work.
Done good. I was judging you how smart he was. I think he'd done something to it just to prove the point. That's the way these school teachers are.
Just if that doesn't work, try this one. Move it forward.
Well, I like Larry Vaughn's philosophy of this. Don't work, it goes out the back door. I shouldn't have got Larry started on that. Timothy, as we looked in the very first verse, was well known to the Philippian brothers. He came there with Paul on both the visit at Philippi. Before in Acts the 16th chapter, 19th chapter, and Philippians the 2nd chapter. I'm not going to read that. Only thing I mentioned this about the fact that Timothy and Paul was real good friends and they served the same master. Timothy seems to have grown up in Lystra. That's in Asia Minor. Under the instruction of a godly mother, Eunice, and a grandmother, Lois, in 2 Timothy. 1 and 5. This is a real good passage showing the function of a woman. If you got a godly mother and a godly grandmother, you're very fortunate. He joined Paul and Silas when they came through Lystra because he'd been trained by these two women. And so he joined Paul on his second missionary trip. Timothy continues with Paul during the third missionary trip and was with Paul in Rome during his first imprisonment and afterwards. So he's pretty close. He was a loyal, constant, beloved, and effective helper to Paul. The reason I put that there, I just wondered, do we have any people that we're that close to that we can depend upon like that? Everybody's got to have some good friends that you call upon them and they're there. Evidently, Paul and Timothy were of that type of people. What did you say I should do, Grant, if it doesn't come up? Don't tell me you don't know. Don't be shaking your head like that. I just bragging on how smart you was. I did that a while ago. Still didn't do it. Think you're ready now?
Now, here's what the issue
is. I want to go with three.
Up here is showing something that's different than what's right here. What you're reading is different from what's up here.
That ain't going to work.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That will not work. Maybe we need to go to that thing like Ken talked about. I'm just take it off and put it back on the flash from the flash drive because it's not on there right. Philippians 1. That's what I want. That's 2. I want to go to 3. There it is. No, it's still 2. What's the best 3?
All right, now we're good.
Now we're good.
Yeah.
We got that upstairs.
Yeah,
it shows here we do. Told me to turn around and look. While Paul and Timothy sent the letter in the truest sense, the Philippians in Christ, the letter is to the church. And you can't make a distinction with that. It's if the brethren are in Christ, then they are in the church. And so it's to the church. And they are saints because they were set apart for God. 1 chapter and verse 8 says, none of us are without sin. We all sin. So they weren't saint because they were sinless, because they were set apart for God's purpose. And Paul recognizes this, and he writes them to it. A lot of people don't like to be like what's called saints, but the Bible refers to Christians as being saints. Not that they were without sin, but they're set apart for God's purpose. And Paul is conscious of that. Like Paul, we can experience peace amidst persecution and poverty. Paul did that. Matter of fact, Paul's in prison right now. If we're not reconciled to God, we will have inward strife and contention, even in wealth and ease. So if we're not in Christ, you cannot have peace. That tells me. If you're outside of Christ and you have an easy life and you had all the wealth in the world, you still have strife because you're not in Christ. That's how important Paul said that Christ was to his life and to the brethren's life. Paul learned no matter what state that he's in, if he has Christ, he can be in poverty, he can be in jail, he can be in prison. But he's okay. He became to live with it. I don't know if we can accomplish that or not, but we should, according to Apostle Paul. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 3 through 10, the whole thing. I'm not going to look at all those verses. The Philippians had fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel of Paul. That's what Paul was interested in. That's one reason that he liked the brethren there at Philippi, because they was preaching and living the gospel. And that was Paul's purpose in life. That Christ will be escalated, Christ will be preached, the gospel will be preached. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? Can you do something about the sound? They must not be hearing me. Why is it so important that the gospel should be preached?
It's the only means of salvation.
That's the only means of salvation. That's what God chose for mankind to be saved through the gospel. So the responsibilities fall upon us. He relies upon the church and mankind to spread the gospel. That's what we find out about God. That's what we find out about salvation. That's what we find out about Christ. And Paul said it's very important that the gospel will be preached. Now he's going to go on in. Sometimes it's not preached for the right purpose, for the right thing. But Paul still glorified it by the fact that the gospel is being preached. We'll see that just in a second. God is at work in Christians until our life is over with. He's in work in you? Yeah, yeah. That's what God chose to do. God is working in you. God is working in Charlie. Paul had confidence that God will continue to work within them. He wanted them, God to work in them. He wanted them to let God work in them. You want me to tone it down a little bit, Larry?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll do it. Whatever Larry wants, Larry gets. Linda taught me that. So, one reason we ask ourselves, why is Paul like it? It's because he believes in God, and God's working in him. God is providing him. That's the only thing that matters to Paul. If God says it, then I'll do it. If God's with me, then everything's okay. I don't care what shape I'm in, where I'm at. If God is being preached and live further down the road, then I'm satisfied. Paul loved the Philippian brothers. Is so great that it can hardly be believed. It's hard to believe anybody could be that much in love with the brotherhood. But Paul manifests this in the book of Philippians. You can't read the book of Philippians and not recognize, not see God, Paul's love for the brethren there. Let me ask you this question. Do you have any Christian brethren that you truthfully say you love like that when you read that book? When you read the book of Philippians, who do you think, oh, I love so-and-so like that? Well, we should love Christ like that. And Paul does. But there's a lot of the brethren that we should love like that too, if I'm reading the book right. Yes, sir? Got it. Paul said we should imitate him too. I think so, as long as Paul's doing this. I agree with you 100%. As Christian, we are to choose the things that are excellent and not those that are trashy. What are you talking about? Well, this applies not only to food, but to everything. Reading, material, entertainment, music, clothing. Walk out the mall. I walk out there every day. Walk out the mall. You see some stuff that you should never see. Clothing, the arts, the friends. You can tell a whole lot about a person by the fact of who these friends are. Some of the closest friends that you have should be right here in this room right now. If not, something's wrong with you, or something's wrong with both of you. You can't read the book of Philippians and not gather that. What does void of offense mean? Paul tells the brethren, you be void of offense. When you hear that phrase, what do you think about? Am I the only one awake in this class? That's not that hard. What's void of offense? If you don't know what it is, then you're going to be guilty of it. I've told you this 100 times. I'll tell you again. I'm married to a school teacher. I said, what do you do when you ask the ask a question, trying to get people incorporated in the lesson. She said, you ask a question. I said, what do you do then? She said, you count to 10. And I've done that. I asked the question, I count to 10, and forgot what the question was. So they could say anything. So I'm at 9, I'm going to 10 right now. What does void of offense mean? Doesn't matter. I'm just relying on that statement. Not causing others to stumble. In other words, I cannot be guilty of causing Kenneth back there to sin. I can't be the guilty party. Causing others to stumble. That's not my function. Paul knew that was his function with the brethren. And he's warning them. He said, you're going to be, I have to work with this. You do not cause anybody to sin. You be not the cause of it. Yes, sir. can be guilty of that and really not mean to be guilty of it. So we need to watch it. So Paul says, and I pray this. One way to not be guilty of what Pax Summit is to pray. First, that your love may abound. When I looked up the word abound, I thought about overflowing. Have you ever tried to fill up a jug and a hose and it just starts overflowing? That's how our love for each and every one should be. You're just bubbling over the top, running down the side. You know, we're directed that through the precise knowledge and all discernment through the Bible. I try to break things down in the simplest way as possible. And may this knowledgeable love bring you to the point that you may test the things that different in the world with this conflict in value. The world and the church is two different things. The world is not in agreement with what we do in here. And we should not be in agreement with what it does out there. I was looking on the internet this morning. This neighbor just had the word Jesus up. And it was so offensive to the next neighbor to it that he made him have it. He made the place or whoever it was take it down. I thought, you know, what about our sign out here? And this subject, they say, well, we don't want to sign out. It's an offense to me, Church of Christ. One of these days it might come that we have to take it down. I hope not. But it could.
Charles.
Yes.
On verse 9, I think you're using New King James, but it says precise knowledge. New American Standard says real knowledge. And going with what Fax just said, you know, you have to have the knowledge of what God wants and then discern what the intent is to use that knowledge to avoid using your own preferences. The world does what the world wants. They say, I think this, I will do this. We need precise knowledge so that we can do what God wants.
If you look up the word precise, it means strict judgment. At least it did in my definition at home. And so the world has conflict and value, and we need to be conscious of that. Strict knowledge will make us that we're not in approval of the things that are excellent. The world's not. And then secondly, I pray that you all may be sincere and without offense, there's that word again, until the day of Christ. He said, I want you to be not the one that's going to cause somebody to stumble until Christ comes. Being filled not merely with the inward sincerity, but with the outward fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. Simple, easy way to explain that is just manifest Jesus Christ in our lives. And all of these things will work out unto the glory and the praise of God. Paul said that's the main thing that we need to do. No matter what I do, I work it out to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ and of God. If the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, it is necessary to see why, it is easy to see why the world is in such an unrighteous place. And it is. And it's getting more so. At least I think so. If the way that we understand and see righteousness is through Jesus Christ, then most people in the world don't know Jesus Christ or have not accepted him. The people of the world either don't know of Christ or have rejected him. Either way, the world is deprived of the fruit of righteousness. We say, well, why do people act like that? Why do they walk in some type of factory and kill all these people? They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know his righteousness. But I do want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me come along in such a way that they have worked out for the advancement of the gospel. Why has it done that? Who's the main character here? Paul. Paul had that disposition about him that it led, it worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's all Paul cared about. Is the brethren there, and you adopt this guy right out here. And he says, same way here. He said, they can do whatever they want to me, but as long as it advances the gospel, I can take it. That's the first and foremost. You realize what kind of society we lived in? We all like that? Will we have any vacant pews here in this building? We wouldn't have it much. Progress refers to that which cuts open a way for the army or any forward moving thing. When I was in the service, we sent out reconnaissance and they would go out and look because the main body was coming along later on. Make sure everything's cleared away and cleared out. I had a friend that worked for me. He and his wife both worked for me. He was in either Iraq or Afghanistan 4 or 5 months before we invaded the place. They dropped a bunch of them off in there with nothing but ammo, no food. No. They was hunkered down during the daytime. They dig holes in the ground and stay there, and they travel at nighttime so they couldn't be detected. If they want anything to eat, they find it off the ground. He was a ranger. And the paratroopers had been there. And he was in there for several months before before the main body came in there. Well, that's what Paul said. We need a make sure the path for the gospel is open. Paul was all about the advancement of the gospel. I don't know if we like that or not. Everything I do I think of that it's for the advancement of the gospel? Paul did. You cannot read the book of Philippians without recognizing that. That's what Paul's life was about. He didn't care what happened to him as long as the gospel got advanced. And he's writing the brethren there, and he said, boy, it's very important that we know this. Things is going to happen. Things are going to come along. The results have been that my bonds have become plainly recognized. And he said, as associated with my being in Christ. Most everything, my problems I have, is because Christ is in me or because I'm trying to serve Christ. This has become known throughout the guard and through all the rest and all those around him. Everybody knew about the reason he was in bonds was because of Christ. I don't know if we would go that far or not. Apostle Paul did. First and foremost in his life was Jesus Christ and the gospel. Boy, this would be a whole lot better world if we had a lot more Pauls around, wouldn't it? Christ and the bonds are the results of being in Christ. I imagine... I don't know. I imagine that'd be a little bit easier to take. Because you're not the reason of the offense. is Christ. Paul in prison became a matter of notoriety for his being in Christ. Paul was in bonds for being in Christ. I have never been threatened because I've been in Christ. Well, one time I was preaching and this person got mad and walked out of the building. I went out in the parking lot and he tried to run over me, but outside of that, I have never been. Still more good news. Because Paul's example, many are now more confident in and bold to speak of Christ without fear than ever before. He was a proper example. So in other words, why... they seen Paul's example stand up for Christ, and his boldness had helped them. So the power of one willing person, it can be contagious. Yes. It didn't bother Paul that much because he was going to carry on if they had him chained to the guards there or not chained to the guards there. They weren't going to silence him upon preaching of the gospel. The power of one willing person. I never been to the Churchill Downs races that they have in May, but one time in my life, and I went to high school there, and I was in the reserves, and we was on duty, and it was about 1 million people in the infield. You couldn't see nothing but horses' tails sticking up, flying around every once in a while, and they hated us as we was one platoon, one squad, about 9 of us. I was in charge. And one of them grabbed one of my boy's hat and took off running with it. And they all looked at me and said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we'll go get the hat back. Then we'll go up and stand around. They had a place in the middle where you bet, and they had regular policemen there. I said, we can't patrol 1 million people. They'll kill us. I said, once we get the hat back, we're going up there and stand in the fair. We're not going to worry about trying to enforce the law. That many people around. We couldn't. So we got the hat back. We went back up there and I said, let's just go up there and just stand. And my phone's on silent right now and it's going off. But that's too bad. It'll just have to go off. I have really been getting a lot of sales calls the last 2-3 days. I even got them yesterday, and I'll bet you this one right here is too. Hi, I'm so-and-so, you know. I just hang up. Just bugs the daylights out of me. Sometimes we are fearful and hasten to speak of Christ in our daily conversation. Ask yourself, am I the bold example or the one that hastened to follow? Sometimes it's hard to speak up. From motive of envy and strife to exalt themselves, some belittle Paul for personal reasons. Paul didn't let that bother him. As we're not going to be able to get to it now because our time's up, but as we go along Wednesday night, we're going to find out, as we look at the end of the chapter, we're going to find out some was preaching the gospel for the wrong purpose. But Paul said, I take praises by the fact that the gospel is being preached. They're wrong, but that's all right. Maybe those who receive the gospels will see as an example how they need to be, even though those who are preaching the gospel are doing it for the wrong purpose, trying to promote themselves or whatever. So the gospel might have the right bearing on the clientele. And Paul said, boy, it just makes me happy. I'm delighted that the gospel is being preached. I'm delighted that people are being talked about, told about Christ. Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. You gotta work at it. What's some of the things you gotta do to be set for the defense of the gospel? The first obvious thing, you got to know it. If you know it, you won't be so apt to keep your mouth shut. You got to know it. I had a young lady yesterday tell me, so I know what you're going to do this weekend. So, and I said, no, you don't. So, well, you're going to worship the baby Jesus. I said, no, I'm not. She said, well, you're a religious person. You believe in Jesus. I said, I believe in Jesus, but nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to honor his birth. I'll be assembling with the saints tomorrow around the table, observing his death, burial, and resurrection. She didn't have anything to say about that, but she didn't know it. We'll begin right there, and we'll go through chapter 1 Wednesday night, and then Grant will take us to chapter 22. Thank you very much.